This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning we have guests on the air from MTSU, and we've got Laura Holder, federal liaison for the Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area at Middle Tennessee State University's Center for Historic Preservation, and also Kate Hughes, assistant with the center. How are both y'all doing this morning?
We appreciate being here.
Good morning. Very happy to be here.
So the title of Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area, that's a big mouthful right there.
Absolutely. I think we have the longest organizational title in the state.
Yeah.
But we're one of the federal programs that operates out of the Center for Historic Preservation at Middle Tennessee State University. And we just help communities across Tennessee preserve and promote their Civil War and Reconstruction era stories and places.
What types of things do you do on a daily basis?
So on a daily basis through the heritage area, a lot of times we're helping communities develop museum exhibits. We're doing research projects to help them determine how they can best preserve their historic sites, how they can share those with the communities, how they can use those as a tool for economic development to bring people into the communities. We have both a grant program that we use to help communities, and we also have what we call professional services, which is where staff members and graduate students like Kate go out and work with communities directly to provide services at no cost to them.
And MTSU's Center for Historic Preservation, they recently won the Award of Excellence for Heritage Center Exhibit. What was that?
So we were really excited, and we were so appreciative that TAM had given that award to us. So we also coordinate a visitor center that's right off the downtown square. It's free and open to the public, and we developed an exhibit really in preparation for the 250th anniversary of our country in 2026. And it tells the stories of two families that had very different but also very similar experiences as they developed their communities in Tennessee. And so we were just really excited to have that award. We're hoping that'll excite people to come into the Heritage Center and see this exhibit for themselves.
And of course, there is so much history in this area regarding the Civil War itself. And what do you do as far as going about to find that history or to put together ideas?
Oh, that's a great question. We're really community driven. So most of our projects come from our communities and our partners and sometimes private citizens directly. So we don't really go out into the communities and necessarily tell people what they should do with their resources. We really wait for them to come to us. And then we just spend a lot of time talking with the stakeholders to find out what their stories are, what they value, how they want to help tell their stories, and what they can, what kind of help they can use from us. And then we really kind of let them drive the story, but we provide support to make sure it's well researched, everything is fact based, it's peer reviewed, so that they have a really good, authentic story to share when they're ready to do that.
In this recent award, one of the things it was based on was creativity. So, how do you go about being creative with history?
You know what? I'm going to turn that over to Kate a little bit too, because one of the great things through the center and through our visitor center downtown is our projects are student driven. And so it gives students a lot of creativity and room to develop their own ideas. So if you don't mind, Kate, I'm going to turn that over to you a little bit.
Absolutely, Laura. Thank you so much. I think you gave a really great explanation of what the Heritage Center does and the Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area. Excuse me. Let me make sure I'm getting my language
That's
correctly here.
Say,
always. I've been here, you know, going on
you.
6 years, and I still want to make sure I get it right. But I think the thing is, in terms of creativity, we want to really point out that our history is fact-based history. So we're researching evidence-based, you know, documents and artifacts. Everything is factually based, but where the creativity is really coming in is in terms of kind of how we're then sharing this material with the public. So I think really that's the thing about the exhibition itself. And I'd say for all of the students who have been involved with this exhibition project and really all the various different aspects of it, from research and then archival processing, even almost 6 years ago now, and then also writing the exhibit text and kind of putting things together and caring for these objects as they came in to the Heritage Center. There's been a lot of kind of student-driven channels of research. And so, for instance, figuring out even myself where to start with the research project with material that was just so extensive. My dissertation is actually focused on one of the families that we are looking at in the exhibition, the Armstrong family, who have a property called Stony Point up in East Tennessee, in Hawkins County. And so really, they just have this incredible property and an incredible amount of material that was extant and kind of left over in their family for 250 years. And so figuring out where and what we wanted to focus on in terms of the research, which objects and which pieces of material to then draw those stories out. So that's where the creativity, I think, really comes in.
Yeah, and I think, like Kate said, it's the stories. You know, these are two families, one white family from Upper East Tennessee, one black family from Giles County, that, again, had very different revolutionary experiences, but there were a lot of similarities just with the community building and the influence that they had. And I think, you know, we try to tell a fact-based story, and those are so important, but it's the stories of the people that draw people in, and that's what visitors want to hear, and that's what they relate to. So while we're making sure that we do tell a well-researched story, we're always trying to tell it from the family's point of view or the person's point of view, so that we get a feel for what life was like and what they experienced, and that's what people can really connect to and relate to.
Well, I think most people understand the word research. There's a lot more that goes into that word, such as fact-checking and making sure that the information you're getting is actually correct. So how do you go about fact-checking stuff that dates back to the 1700s?
Well, I'll jump in here, Laura. Thank you so much. And just go ahead and say, I think that really what this comes down to is, if we're working with original documents and original material, as a trained historian, I know how to look at a document and to the most extent, be able to know what time period it's from based on the handwriting, the paper, what the writing utensil is, the language being used, all of those things. But then going beyond that is not just having the original document, but looking at the context in other areas. So what else is related to this information? So for instance, if I have a diary from the 1860s and it's talking about something that happened in town that day, I can also go back and then look for newspapers from that day in the 1860s and see, is this matching what this person was writing about? And then look at other documents, for instance, at the Tennessee State Library and Archives, something like that, and kind of try and kind of cross-reference in that way, so that we're not just getting information from one point, but that things truly are coming from a multitude of perspectives.
So you actually can go back and look at diaries that, I guess, were what, donated? Were they donated to MTSU? Were they donated to the state? Where were they?
Currently, actually, the material for the Armstrongs still belongs to the Armstrong family, to different members of the Armstrong family. We'll see where all of the material ends up at some point. But we're so, so grateful that they've been so generous in sharing this material with us and with myself and the other students who work for the Center for Historic Preservation, and who have had the chance to work in such a hands-on way with really historic material dating back all the way, actually, to the 1780s, some really, really incredible things. We've got documents that are agreements for indentured servitude dating back to the 18th century, land deeds from the 18th century, and then this series of diaries. I mean, we do so much work with the Civil War for all of the reasons that Laura explained earlier in terms of the Civil War National Heritage Area. And so the Civil War story of both the Gardners and the Armstrongs is really a huge part of it. And for the Armstrongs, they just have this incredible collection of kind of journals and diaries from one of their patriarchs of the family that just offer an incredible amount of information of what it was like to live in that time.
It's got to be really fascinating to look back and read somebody's diary from way back then. Of course, people, they wrote different, they spoke different. I would guess they were probably a lot better at describing things or situations than maybe we are today, because it seems like today we're on this one-track mind of these 5-second sound bites to get stuff done as quick as possible, but it wasn't really the case back then.
Well, and I think the same with the collection that we got from the Gardner family. And some of the things that we've looked at are not the things you necessarily think are great sources of research, but we have things like store ledgers and church ledgers and photographs and games and items that the family held onto that were important to them, radios, and even from things like that, that the families have so generously shared and put on loan to us so that we could share them with the public. You can learn so much about what the family valued and what they did and how they helped their community. So I think Kate made a great point that these families shared what was important to them. And from that, we can learn so much about the family and the community and what was important at the time.
And I think one of the most amazing things about doing this kind of research and having the ability to read this material from, 100 years or more ago, is that you actually do start to realize that humans are humans and people have their challenges throughout the centuries, throughout the years, and really they're not that different than us. There were really kind of all the same different kinds of challenges at different times, but really they're thinking about a lot of the same things that we're thinking about today. They're concerned with family, friends, community, sick children, somebody, who's getting married and where the wedding is happening and who's throwing the dinner party, but also bigger questions about their place in society and how they're looking at their country and what's happening in politics. And they're very kind of just engaged with that and really kind of wondering, what is it that makes us Americans and how do we fit into this place in Tennessee that we live in, whether it's in the 1860s or the 1790s or later in the 20th century as well.
Is it hard not to get sidetracked when doing this research? Because I would imagine you probably find a lot of other interesting things that could develop into stories to tell at maybe a museum one day while you're doing research on one subject.
Absolutely. And we call them our rabbit holes. We love to go down our rabbit holes because there are so many fascinating stories and tidbits and side stories that come up as you're doing this research. And that's one of the hardest things, is we want to tell a big story and we want to share all the information with everyone. And we really have to concentrate on focusing and narrowing that down so that we get kind of the core of the story. What are the most important themes that we want people to walk away with? Not just necessarily the facts and figures and the times and the dates, but what are the concepts and the experiences that we really want people to understand when they come and visit an exhibit like this.
And again, the story that we're talking about right now that you researched, give us some highlights to that.
So we're looking at two families in different revolutionary times. So I'll let Kate talk a little bit more about the Armstrong family. But, one family was the Matt Gardner family out of Giles County. And it's really following his story post-Civil War, post-emancipation. So as a free man, he is developing a community for the very first time. He finally has the freedom to help his family and his friends and his community create their own institutions. So they developed a school and a church and a store, and the family served in the military. They served their country at a time when sometimes the freedoms that they were fighting for weren't always available to them. So again, a really powerful story of this family, but kind of telling it side by side with the Armstrong family. I'll let Kate talk a little bit about them, but they were also experiencing revolutionary times right after the American Revolution, when our country was being created and transformed as well. So it's looking at these families, again, sometimes very different experiences, but a lot of similarities in just what families go through and how they just serve their community, their family, and their nation.
And I'll add in, Laura, just in thinking about Reverend Matt Gardner's family, that his family still owns the property and kind of the house that he built. They still own it today, which is really just an incredible through line in that family's story. And Matt's wife, Rita, actually was this incredible textile artist and quilt maker. And so that's some of the things that we have on exhibit right now at the Heritage Center that if you come by, you can see, which are these just really, really colorful, really beautifully patterned, traditional, and then not always, not, some more creative quilt making and quilts that she put together. together. And then when we think about the Armstrong family at Stony Point, so totally different part of the state up in Upper East Tennessee, they're really coming from before the state of Tennessee. So they show up kind of sometime before the Revolution, possibly in the 1780s, that kind of time period. And they're really making a life for themselves up in what's known as Carter's Valley. It's not yet Tennessee. It's not yet Hawkins County. And they're very instrumental, really, with the beginnings of the state and then kind of the area. And their family has this whole westward expansion that they're just kind of, I get very excited and start to say, they're part of the whole history of America. Mm-hmm. But I really do think that that's true. And one of the amazing kind of connections with the Gardner family is that the Armstrongs also still own that kind of main house of Stony Point. It's still in the family today, a really incredible property. You can check out the National Register of Historic Places listing online, although it's from many decades ago. But they also have this incredible story of kind of textile making in the house and on the site, and that we have this really incredible wool and cotton coverlet from likely the late 1840s or 1850s that was made in the house and with materials from their farm and by the women of the house, both black and white. And there were both black and are both black and white Armstrong family members as well. And so I think just thinking about kind of this textile story that happens with both the Gardners and the Armstrongs is one of those really kind of cool object-based but also people-centered stories that we can kind of talk about. There's also a really amazing, I just got to throw this out, there's this awesome daguerreotype, which is like an early photographic image of a young man. He was a Confederate soldier and he died during the Civil War, and he is the brother-in-law of the patriarch of Stony Point, of the Armstrong family, who wrote all of these diaries after the Civil War. And there's just a really incredible, like, very special love story that happens with him, and kind of, it's very Cold Mountain-esque, and it's those kinds of little rabbit holes that I think are the things that I've got a whole long list of other areas of research I still really want to go down.
And I know we're almost out of time, but where can people go to see the exhibit here?
So they can come to the Heritage Center of Murfreesboro in Rutherford County. We're located at 225 West College Street. We're right off the downtown square, and we're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And if I could just really quick, I just want to thank some people that were so instrumental in making this exhibit happen. Of course, the Gardner and Armstrong families first and foremost, but also our director, Dr. Van West, who had the relationships with these families, and so they were able to entrust these wonderful artifacts to develop this exhibit, and just our exhibit team along with Kate. We also had graduate students Abby Coombs, Taylor Means, Abby Jo Mullis, and Amy Neesmith, who have now since graduated and gone on to do other wonderful things, but we could not have developed this exhibit without them, and we're just so appreciative for all the people that contributed to it.
And again, with us this morning, Laura Holder, and also Kate Hughes with MTSU, and we've been talking about history and the Tennessee Civil War National Heritage Area at MTSU's Center for Historic Preservation. And thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
For 75 years, Murfreesboro Medical Clinic has been a cornerstone of health and compassion in our community. From our humble beginnings to the advanced, comprehensive care we offer today, our commitment to you has never wavered. With 8 locations across Murfreesboro and Middle Tennessee, and over 100 physicians, we continue to provide the highest standard of care. Then, now, and always, your health is our mission.
This is Chip Walters, and I'm honored to be your 2024 MTAR Realtor of the Year. I'm with Exit Realty Bob Lamb & Associates, and like many of you, I've seen the real estate market shift and change. People often ask, Chip, what's really going on? Well, that's a great question, and I believe in answering with solid, factual data. So let's cut through some of the noise. I invite you to reach out. Let's have a conversation about your real estate goals and the current market trends in your neighborhood. You can find all my contact information at choosechip.net.